98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Burns and Gambo, the 4 o'clock reset. Brought to you by Collins Comfort Masters, proud home services partner of the Arizona Cardinals. 4 o'clock reset.
4 o'clock every day, we present to you the top stories of the day here on 98.7 FM, Arizona sports station, and our reaction to those stories. We start with the Arizona Cardinals. They have put offensive lineman Justin Pugh on the reserve COVID-19 list and have put Reggie Walker on the roster in his place, the linebacker. Cliff Kingsbury also said today DeAndre Hopkins is being eased into practice but won't play Friday against the Chiefs.
Yeah, he didn't do much. We're easing him back in, but he's feeling better and he'll be full go. I don't think he'll play this week, but he'll be full go for next week's practice. Just something minor.
Something minor. Put that on Kevin Zimmerman's list.
Torn ACL, something minor.
No, it's
lost
not.
Lost your arm, something minor.
He hasn't lost an arm and he didn't tear an ACL. Mm. Hopefully something minor means actually something minor. For Pugh, it's his second time on the COVID-19 reserve list. He was there on July 29th. Came off the list on August 2nd. So he is back on that list, according to the transaction.
Yeah, it's not really a list you want to be on. You'd like to not be on that list if
like
you
to.
Can.
Yeah, but if you're going to be on it, to spend as little time on it as possible. And
right.
Still with the regular season opener basically a month away, there's plenty of time to get him off that list. For the first time since the NCAA investigation began, ASU defensive coordinator and recruiting coordinator Antonio Pierce spoke with the media today. His press conference was brought to you by the phrase, no comments.
Real simple. I don't got no comment on it. Obviously, you know what's going on. And we're working on with the guys that we got here and the coaches we got here.
Have you spoken to the three coaches that are on leave right now? And what's your message to those guys?
Yeah, my message is we're just focused on the Sun Devils right now.
Hold on. There's more.
Everybody that's been allegedly tied to the investigation that's been put on leave, your first year as defensive coordinator, are you concerned about your status?
Nope.
One more for fun.
As recruiting coordinator, Antonio, do you feel a sense of responsibility for the investigation, the inquiry, whatever word is used to describe it?
I have no comment on it.
And there you go.
The only thing that you could take out of that is he has no concern over his job. Because he actually gave you a no answer instead of a no comment.
You know what? That was it. That's a good observation.
Any concern over your job? No concern over my job. Okay.
Because three other guys, they do have concern over their job status because they're not coaching right now.
And what do you say about those guys? Nothing.
Nothing. All right, so that happened today. Also happening today, Jalen Smith was named to the All-NBA Summer League first team for the Phoenix Suns today.
I saw that. You know, we talked about how he may not have, you know, really popped, but he did get named to the All-Summer League first team along with Jalen Johnson of the Hawks, Davion Mitchell of the Kings, Trey Murphy III of the Pelicans, Peyton Pritchard from the Boston Celtics, Cam Thomas from the Nets, and Obi Toppin from the Knicks. So those guys all made the All-Summer League first team.
He averaged 16 points per game. He shot 36% from the three-point line. He put up good numbers. And I'm not going to sit here and say I watched every minute of the Summer League. What I did watch, there was still more to go, more that you wanted to see, but he made that first team today. And then finally, Aaron Rodgers telling the Dan Lebatard podcast that he was, no lie, legit 50-50 on retiring before the start of training camp.
I felt going into the weekend before camp that I was 50-50. I don't care if people don't believe that. I mean, that's true. There were some things that got me to 50-50 for sure. And you know, I spent a couple of days in silence and meditation and contemplation and really felt like that I should come back. There's a lot of opportunities for growth and exciting things in Green Bay, and that felt like the right thing to do.
He also had that opportunity, if he did leave, to go take that. Did he have a chance to have that gig, the TV gig?
No, they actually filled that. The Jeopardy hosting.
Right, could he have gotten it?
No, I think they were going to go with the executive producer guy. Yeah,
he wouldn't have got that anyway.
He had a shot at getting that.
All right, listen, I believe him. I believe him.
Do you?
I mean, sure, he's, 38 years old?
Yeah.
He's been playing in this league for, I think, 16 years? Yeah, I think that, you know, you probably contemplate, unless you're Tom Brady, you know, when you get to be in your mid to mid-30s to upper, you know, to early 40s, you're constantly contemplating whether
you're kind of on a year-to-year basis. Yeah, anyway.
I mean, Larry Fitzgerald's been on a year-to-year basis the last few years, right? I mean, it's just that's the way things go when you get to that age.
Yeah, that's a good way of looking at it. But our top story of the day here on the Burns and Gambo Show, we circle back to the Arizona Cardinals and Cliff Kingsbury, who acknowledged today that it is great to not to have to spend all of his time with the quarterbacks and just with the offense.
It's been great. Cam is the guy who has been here, you know, this his third year, I guess fourth year here total, and three with me are going on three with me, and he understands what I'm looking for and has a great rapport with those guys, and it's really, really worked well. It's allowed me to, you know, keep my eyes on different areas and even in meetings. He does a great job meeting with those guys, and I can hop in and out and handle other things.
Clear that Cliff is trying to take on more of an overall 30,000 feet kind of approach.
Which he should do.
To being a head coach this year.
Yeah, I think the first 2 years it was very hands-on with Kyler. Very hands-on, you know, joined at the hip, which they had to be. He needed Kyler to understand what he wanted out of Kyler and how to run this offense. And for 2 years, he put all that emphasis. So I think he's taken I think he feels that Kyler now has a better grasp of it. Like Kyler's more mature, that Kyler, there's a lot of things that he doesn't have to go over with Kyler anymore, that he knows that. So he can now, you know, spread his duties to other areas, becoming more of a football coach than just the quarterback coach for Kyler Murray and the play caller.
Yeah, he said it's different.
Yeah, I mean, it's a little different. You know, I love being with the quarterbacks and working with them, but it's definitely helped, I think, overall or from an organization standpoint, me being able to kind of keep my eyes in other places as well.
I think it's something that needed to happen, like you, because, you know, there were moments last year, and all we have to do is, you know, look at the end of the game kind of failures and just wonder if Cliff was really kind of paying attention to everything the way a head coach should be paying attention to. But also, by the same token, I want to make sure Cliff Kingsbury isn't playing away from his strengths either, and why he was hired to be the head coach of the Cardinals. And he was hired to be the head coach of the Cardinals because he was an offensive mastermind, and I'm probably overstating that term, but you know what I mean. That was his specialty. His specialty was offense. Last year, the Cardinals' offense wasn't very good. So this year, for Cliff to be able to take this team to the playoffs, a lot of that specialty from Cliff Kingsbury is really going to have to show itself this year. This offense needs to get back. So I don't want him getting too far away from what his specialty is either, because the offensive improvements have to happen if this team is going to get where they want to go. Does that make any sense?
Yeah, but a lot of the offensive improvements, really, as we've discussed many times, are just the maturity of Kyler. Being able to read a defense and you know, being more disciplined as a team. You know, those things I think will come, you know, naturally. You hope they come naturally. But as I said to you earlier, I think, you know, the thing with Cliff is, you know, you like studying for a big test. Like there comes a point where, okay, enough. I've done enough studying. I got to take the test now. I don't need to study anymore. I don't know anything about that, but surely you do. just, you know, there comes a point like, okay, that's it. Like an extra 2 hours is not going to make a difference in my score. It's really not. So I prepared enough for it. Now we move on and go do something else.
Yes.
And I think Cliff with this offense, maybe at that point now, like 3 years, I've got it down with Kyler. Let me go see what the defensive backs are doing. Let me see how our linebackers are doing. Keep an eye on Zaven. So I think he's probably at that point
yeah.
right now.
Now, the ultimate test of this theory, of course, would be play calling duties. And I don't think Cliff, as long as he's the head coach of the Cardinals, he said as much that Cliff will never not call plays
right.
for the offense. I mean, and wouldn't that be sort of the ultimate litmus test of how much separation you have from the offense? You know what? I trust you to call the offense. He still wants to be very hands-on,
and he should
when
be.
It comes to something like that.
And I think he should be. I mean, Bruce Arians, you know, had a hard time letting go of the offense, man. He, you know, Bruce wanted to call those plays. I mean, you almost feel like I you know, why should I have somebody else do it when I know I could do it better than anybody else?
Is it that? Or is it just that's it's got to be so fun calling plays, right? Like the juice of being a coach in the NFL. I have to imagine there is a lot of juice in being the play caller of an NFL offense.
You know, when I was making the calls in Tecmo Bowl back in the day.
Yeah, really? A lot of juice? You felt the
you
juice?
You know, and I wanted to get that ball to Bo Jackson. Mm-hmm. I mean, I didn't want anybody else making that call. Because I knew I was going to be able to get the ball to Bo.
Yeah.
So, no, I have, of course. I mean, there is, you're playing chess, man, and you think you're the chess master.
Yeah.
You think you're the Queen's Gambit, you know?
You think you're the
Queen's Gambit.
Is Cliff looking up at the ceiling and looking at X's and O's moving around and you know, hopefully that's the only similarity he has with the person from Queen's Gambit, because she was a wreck, man.
He'd look great in that little red wig.
No, he wouldn't. Not at all. You can text us your thoughts.
Did you watch that show?
No, but I know that I need to.
God, it's such a good show.
Yeah, my fiance would not stop raving about it, it'll happen at some point.
It's a great show. It's a quickie. I think it's 7 episodes, 8 episodes. You'll be over.
Oh,
you'll be done with it.
That's my kind of show right there.
You'll be done with
it.
By the way, if you start now, you'll be done with it by the end of the week.
In a hot minute, you'll be done with it. Yeah, text us your thoughts on the Cardinals' offense and Cliff Kingsbury's role in that to the FanDuel text line. You can text us at 620-620 right now on the FanDuel text line. There's no doubt the Suns championship window is open. For how long will that window be open? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Phoenix Suns, 2 wins away, obviously, from their first ever NBA championship. And if you believe in windows to compete, I think we would all agree that with basically bringing everybody back and then adding Landry Shamet and JaVale McGee, that the window is still very much there for them in the Western Conference to compete. This window really might hit its peak opportunity, though, about 3 years from now, maybe 2 years from now, depending on how things go. There was a terrific article by John Hollinger today on The Athletic that Gambo and I had. It was a real pleasure reading it. It was very detailed. There were a lot of numbers in there. Don't want to bore you with a lot of it, but just kind of know this. The basic crux of the article was that many of the elite teams in the NBA have sacrificed enormous financial and draft resources in the name of going for it right now. And if you look at their star players 3 years from now, a lot of them are going to be old. A lot of them are going to be expensive. A lot of them should be at the end of their careers. And it's at that moment where you see the real opportunity for the Suns, all of who their stars outside of Chris Paul will still be in their mid to late 20s. That should be the real opportunity for the Suns to strike when that happens.
Yeah. Now, there's one thing. If you go 5 years ago right now, I don't think there's anybody that would have looked at the Phoenix Suns and said, so there's going to be somebody in 5 years. It might be the Memphis Grizzlies. I mean, who knows? It might be the Minnesota Timberwolves. I mean, somebody is going to jump into the scene that is not in the picture right now. Yes. It's just maybe it's the San Antonio Spurs. Somebody is going to be a threat in 5 years that we can't see it. We don't know what they're going to do. We don't know who they're going to draft. We don't know who they're going to trade for. We don't have any idea. But we do know that Steph Curry is going to be 37 years old, making $52 million and still having a year left on his deal. We know that. We know that Paul George is going to be 33, making $49 million, and Kawhi is going to be 32, making $49 million, and that the Clippers, they owe 3 first-round draft picks and 2 swap picks to the Thunder. So, like, we know that there are teams that are going to be in financial straits and not have the draft capital to really be good when the Suns players are really hitting their prime.
Yeah, I mean, and Hollinger does such a great job. You mentioned some of the players a second ago. He just imagine what things are going to look like 3 years from now. And he talks about Curry. He talks about the Clippers. He talks about in Miami how Jimmy Butler is going to be 35 years old making $48 million. He talks about the Lakers. 3 years from now, LeBron James is going to be 40 years old and he could be making north of $50 million that season. And so you think about that, and that's when you really start thinking about how uniquely positioned the Suns are to be able to win a championship sometime in the next 5 years or so. Now, they've got to take care of their own business in that they'll have to re-sign DeAndre, which we expect them to do at some point. They'll have to re-sign Mikal, which we expect them to do.
Talks are ongoing right now with both guys.
Okay.
They have up until the first day of the season to get that extension done for now. Now, you don't have to get it done. Those guys can hit restricted free agency in a year. But there are talks ongoing, and there's no rush to get it done. But they do have until the first game to get something done.
And, of course, those guys still have to develop. And I mean, look, if we're being honest about it, you've also got to re-up with Devin Booker at some point, right, to continue.
Yeah.
He's got 3 years left on his deal. I have to go back and look for sure. It's 3 or 4. I can't remember. But either way, you know, if you really are building this young, great team that is poised to not take over the NBA, but certainly be one of the elite teams in the NBA for years to come when all these guys get old, you got to keep Booker around so that he can be kind of the centerpiece of all of that. So there's a lot of boxes that still need to be checked. But the Suns are in an incredibly unique position, and the Hawks are in it too. And that's what Hollinger points out, that here are two teams that were very patient. They lost a lot of games. They drafted well, you know, in getting guys like Trae Young, Kevin Huerter in Atlanta, DeAndre Ayton, Mikal Bridges in Phoenix.
And they made a big move.
And then they made a big move, whether it was Clint Capella in Atlanta, Bogdanovich in Atlanta, or Chris Paul and Jay Crowder in Phoenix.
They waited until the time was right.
They waited, and they didn't get themselves into this giant hole that they can't get out of in order to make those moves. They didn't give up a ton of draft capital to give up Chris Paul. They didn't give up a ton of resources. Financially, yeah, they might have to go into the tax a year from now when they re-sign Ayton and Bridges.
They will.
But they're not in this incredible bad shape like some of these other organizations are with their draft picks and their money. They're still in a pretty good spot to be able to do this for years to come. It's kind of a cool position to be in when you look around the league.
It's hard to say, too, oh, you've got to wait until the 2025 season for the Suns to win a championship, right? Because it's 2021 right now. You'd be like, okay, that's 3.5 to 4 years from now. I don't know if I want to wait that long. But, you know, in that season, when all these other players are going to be old, right? Kevin Durant's going to be 36 years old. The Suns' key players, DeAndre will be 26. Mikhail will be 27. Book will have just turned 27. Cam Johnson will be 28. You're going to have experience and you're going to have youth on your side. You know, where all these other guys, Steph's 37, Paul George is 33, Jimmy Butler is 35, Drew Holiday's 34, LeBron and Russell Westbrook. And you start to go over the ages of these other players, Kyrie Irving, James Harden. And man, it does set. Now, again, you can't. 4, 5 years ago, I don't think anybody would have been looking at the Suns. Maybe they wouldn't have been looking at the Nuggets 5 years ago. You know, I doubt that would have happened. So there are going to be somebody else that comes up to compete.
And I'm glad you brought up the Nuggets, because if you're starting to look around.
How many years ago was 5 years ago? It was 2000.
It would have been the 2016-17 season. Yeah, 2016-17 season would have been 5 years ago. I'm glad. And while you're looking up what you're going to look up, I'm glad you mentioned the Nuggets, because they're a team that in some ways is similar to the Phoenix Suns in that Nikola Jokic is only 26 years old and Jamal Murray is only 24 years old. So you would think that would be a team that, like the Suns, that could actually be. I know the Suns handled them easily in 4 games, but when Jamal Murray is healthy, that could very well be the team that kind of mirrors the Suns in the Western Conference for the next 5 years or so, because their key pieces are just as young as the Suns
are. So 5 seasons ago, the Denver Nuggets finished 10th in the NBA's Western Conference. They won 33 basketball games. They won 33 games. Their team was Darrell Arthur, DJ Augustine, Kenneth Faried, Danielle Gallinari. Jokic was a rookie. He was a rookie. Emmanuel Mudiay, Jameer Nelson. I mean, look at that roster. Like that, nobody would have thought that team 5 seasons ago was going to be any good. And now they're a good basketball team. So, like I said, there's somebody. It might be Memphis. It might be San Antonio. Somebody is going to be good that we're not counting on right now.
Text us your thoughts on the Suns roster. The FanDuel text line open to you all throughout the Burns and Gambo show. You can text us whenever you'd like at 620-620. We always read the best ones on the air. Chase Edmonds going to be taking on an increased workload this season in the Cardinals' backfield. It's the development, though, of Kyler Murray that has caught the running back's attention. We'll tell you about it next on the Burns and Gambo show. Let's get an update on our Twitter poll question of the day. Sarah is standing by. D-backs-oriented question today.
Burns and Gambo need to know Twitter poll update, presented by Sanderson Ford.
What do you have for us today, sir?
All right, something you guys talked about, I think, in the last hour or so about the Diamondbacks tanking, not tanking. What does the front office think? All that stuff. We're asking, do you want the Diamondbacks to tank and get the top pick in the 2022 MLB draft? Yes, because I want that number one pick. Or no, no tanking. That creates a bad culture.
Let me ask you a question in response. When I tune in the Diamondbacks every single night, I am not actively rooting for them to lose baseball games.
Okay.
I watched last night's game. I wanted them to win. How should I answer that question, even though I want them to have the number one pick in the draft?
If you want them to win, then no, you're not looking for them to tank, because you're disappointed when they win, right?
But I want the number one pick. But I want it.
Both.
I'm going to be a spoiled little brat kid over here. I want it. I want the number one pick.
You want both.
I don't want to root for them to lose. No.
You just want the Orioles to pick it up just a little bit.
Right.
Just a little bit.
Yeah, you want to go to Disneyland and Disney World on the same vacation.
Sure.
Well, tell your parents, let's do three in Florida.
Maybe Universal and Disneyland.
Yeah.
Whatever it is.
Close to each other.
This is a tough question because I do want the number one pick. I do. Yeah. So, really, I'd just like the Baltimore Orioles to play a little bit better.
They're winning right now.
Oh, good.
I just looked it up.
Oh, good.
They're up 2-0.
There we go. Uh-huh. So, you don't have to root for D-backs losses.
I'm not rooting for them to lose, but I would like the number one pick. So, I guess I'll vote for the number one pick. Gambo?
I want the number one pick, too, but I'm the same thing. I'm not rooting for them to lose. Mm-hmm. I like the D. I love the D-backs.
I'm happy when they win. And we'll talk about this in a little bit. I was rooting for the Arizona Cardinals to lose the year they finished with three wins. Mm-hmm. I did not want them to win football games. I wasn't like flashing pom-poms for the other team every single Sunday, but I certainly was not, I'm going to watch the Cardinals game today because I'm rooting for them to win. No, I wanted the number one pick that year. It's a different thing with the Diamondbacks this year. I just don't find myself wanting them to lose.
Yeah,
What's our audience say?
68% of our audience do want the Diamondbacks to lose. Go get that number one pick. 32% say, no, please no tanking. That creates a bad culture.
As it stands right now, the Orioles barely have the worst record in baseball by 0.03% points over the Arizona Diamondbacks. You can find that poll question put together by Sarah on the Burns and Gambo Twitter page at Burns and Gambo. One word is where you can find it. Chase Edmonds tweeted out, this would have been 2 days ago, Kyler Murray, K1, threw a damn ball on the run today about 50 yards in the air. On my soul, it would have been a dime in every currency in the world. Lord have mercy. Chase Edmonds was on the Jim Rome show yesterday and talked about his tweet and the ball that Kyler threw in camp.
After every practice, Cliff always just does, when we do our team meetings, he always posts some clips of whether it's a great effort, whether it's what we need to work on. And it just happened to be that play. And he was really pointing out Buddha's effort, that Buddha was helping make a play on the ball. But I didn't know. We were practicing the play, and K1 was rolling out to his right. And, I mean, he was full rolling out on his right, and he was in a run. And he threw this ball where it was on the run, but he also faded to the right. And, I mean, it was an absolute dime right to Rondell Moore. And I didn't see it live in practice. I really didn't notice it. And I was just in team meeting, and I looked at Buddha. I said, bro, did you see that damn dime? And it just caught my attention, man. It was a really great ball, man. But he's been doing that in and out of practice every single day.
That was Chase Edmonds?
That was Chase Edmonds on Jim Rome's show yesterday.
Wow. Yeah.
And then he went on to talk about Kyler and his ability to throw into those tight windows.
Just looking at K1's growth, man, the one thing I noticed so much is not in terms of leadership, but I'm talking about just in terms of his physical growth with the football is just how much more comfortable he is in super tight windows. I mean, you're seeing super next-level stuff where he's fitting certain balls and certain crosses right into these tight windows that you wouldn't think is possible. So he's really taking the next step right now.
Yeah.
It's all really good
to
hear.
It's great to hear. I mean, I'd rather hear this than have concerns. You know, I'd rather have this than have concerns about Kyler. I mean, everything looks good, and this is the year. I mean, I don't know how many times that this is the third year. This is when you make the jump. You want to make the money, you make the jump. You don't want to make the money, don't make the jump.
Yep.
Like, you want $40 million a year? It's available to you. Have a great season. Lead your team to the playoffs. Great season. Put up some unbelievable numbers. Be Josh Allen-like, and you're going to get yourself a lot of money. Now, you're about to line up the Brinks truck with all the money you're going to make. So This is when Josh Allen made the jump. This is when Lamar Jackson made the jump. Most players make that jump in that third year, and this is the time for Kyler to do it.
And that's what had Chase talking about, the swagger that Kyler flashes on the field.
It does. He has a unique way of carrying himself. You can definitely feel his presence, though, with his swag. Because K1, again, he's not a loud guy, quiet guy, kind of just keeps to himself, obviously. But he does a great job of leading us. And, you know, when he steps on the field, man, he gives himself and he gives us that swagger that we feel like, man, we can go out, we can put 30 points on anybody.
Now, Chase, if you'll remember, he was the one a couple of weeks ago who just admitted we folded last year. The team folded last year. We were 6-3. We didn't make the playoffs. We folded. He was also the one who came out and said that our offense got real predictable at the end of the season. People knew what we were going to do, and we didn't really have a counter move for any of that. When he was on Jim Rome's show yesterday, boy, he did not back down from any of that stuff at all.
I feel like it was a fair thing to say, especially, you know, knowing how each man felt in the locker room, knowing how each coach, everyone involved with the Cardinals organization, how he felt at the end of that season after the L.A. Rams lost. Obviously, we felt like we had a really good shot after that Seattle game, the first Seattle matchup, going into the second stretch of the season. You know, you look inside, you're trying to ignore the noise, you're 6-3. You're kind of just doing the math. You're looking around and say, okay, let's handle business, and, you know, we'll see where the seeds play themselves out. And then to end the year 8-8, I mean, we set the standard high in our room. We set the standard high on this team. So I felt like it was a fair thing to say, and I felt like the one thing that we needed more of is accountability in terms of just guys have to know that it's not okay for that to happen. Guys have to know that, you know, we need to address these things openly. We need to address these things amongst each other so we can find ways for it not to happen again. And I just felt like if I can't hold myself accountable, how can I look at another man and tell himself to, you know, hold him accountable as well?
You know what I hear right there?
Mm.
A leader.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
I hear a leader.
I hear a voice in a locker room. I hear a
respected leader.
Yeah.
I'm going to hold myself accountable. How could I ask you? I've got to hold myself accountable for what's happening here.
I hear a guy who is, there are uncomfortable things that need to be said inside a locker room, and not everyone's going to say them. Not everyone's going to want to say them. Not everyone's comfortable with being the guy to say the uncomfortable in a locker room setting. Chase Edmonds is not that guy. Chase Edmonds is that guy who is more than willing to say the uncomfortable in a setting like that. And you can't have a locker room filled with guys like that. Not everybody can be that guy. It just doesn't work that way. But you do need to have guys like that, and that's clearly Chase's role.
I'm going
to
say something. Because we talk so much about Rondale Moore and Zaven Collins and Isaiah Simmons. Man, I'm looking forward to the season Chase Edmonds has as much as I am any other player on this roster. And I really mean that. Because right now, I'm sure when you're looking at running backs in fantasy football, he's somewhere around your 22nd or 23rd guy that's going to be taken in fantasy football.
I haven't thought about it yet.
Oh, that's right. You don't have any teams this year.
Oh, no. I have a team. I have a team.
You do have one team?
I have two teams.
Yeah.
Two teams.
Go ahead, Sarah. I know you're dying to chime in right there. Go ahead.
I'm just so excited we don't have the league this year.
Yeah!
I cannot contain my excitement.
We got talking to from our supervisor here at the station, who informed us all there would not be a forced family fun, forced fantasy football league.
I didn't play last
around
year.
Here anymore.
Was I the only one?
Yes, I think everybody else
was forced to play.
Was forced.
Forced. To
forced. Forced is correct.
Forced is accurate.
I was not playing. Jordan, did you feel like you were forced to
I had
play?
A great time playing fantasy football for the station last season, and I don't know what Gambo or Sarah are talking about.
Thanks, Rod Lakin. Ding!
Yeah. We're happy we don't have to play. I wasn't going to play anyway because I just don't want to play. But let me get back to my Chase Edmonds.
Well, then clearly it wasn't forced. If you weren't able to play, if you were given
other
the choice
people,
of not
other
playing,
people felt forced.
I was not given the choice.
You were not given the choice.
I requested to not participate, and I was told, no, you will participate.
Those are Gambo privileges.
Yeah,
that's right.
He was able to demonstrate those in that moment.
I'm just a scrub over here.
I'm not playing.
Those are the Gambo rules.
Yeah. They still owe me a steak dinner for my championship a couple of years ago.
Oh, God. See, whoever had 441 in the office pool on August 18th, congratulations, you won. That's when Gambo mentioned this alleged steak dinner that he claims he's owed from winning two years ago.
Let me down.
Mm-hmm.
Can I finish my point on Chase Edmonds now?
Sure.
Chase Edmonds is not going to be one of your top fantasy running backs. The guy's never rushed for more than 450 yards in a season. But the potential is there See, I think it's very possible that in 4 months we're going to look at Chase Edmonds a lot differently than we look at it now. What do you think of Chase Edmonds? He's okay. He's been in the league for 3 years. He's good. He's had a couple good games. He's all right. People may not even think he's a middle of the road running back as far as starters are concerned. But I think big things are ahead for Chase Edmonds. I think he could be really, really good. And I think that there's a potential for maybe even 1,000 yards rushing for Chase Edmonds. And I think that there's a chance that people will look at Chase Edmonds a lot differently come November and December than they do right now in August of him.
I agree. The Train Teddy Bear Express getting fired up for another round of deliveries. And we're going to need your help to put some teddy bears on that Train Teddy Bear Express. Our Giveathon benefiting the Phoenix Children's Hospital continues next on the Burns and Gambo Show.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station in the Arizona Sports app. Giveathon on the Burns and Gambo Show.
A heartfelt thanks to everybody who has called in so far on the Desert Financial phone bank. And if you haven't had the opportunity yet to call in, really going to encourage 5 to 10 of our great listeners in the next 15 minutes or so to call the volunteers right now standing by at the hospital. 602-933-4567 is the number. 602-933-4567. This is Giveathon Week for Phoenix Children's Hospital. It's presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. It's always such an honor for us to be able to do this over the course of this week to raise money for one of the best children's hospitals in the United States, if not the world. I mean, it's just an absolute jewel, a total gem of our community, something we have to work very hard to protect because it costs money. It's expensive to run a children's hospital. But also the peace of mind that comes knowing that we have a hospital like that right in our backyard. As a parent, I'm a parent. Jordan's a parent. It's something that it's incredibly peaceful knowing that we've got that there in case something goes horribly wrong.
We say that, you know, you may not have had to take your child to Phoenix Children's Hospital, but it's very likely that you know somebody that did.
Indeed.
That somebody that did. I mean, maybe it was just an emergency room visit or... Oh, but there are children in there dealing with cancer and brain injuries and heart problems. And Phoenix Children's Hospital does an amazing job of giving these kids the best chance at a healthy life. And that's why, you know, we get behind it because it's expensive to run it. We say it all the time. It's about $2.7 million a day to run that hospital. And they very much rely on the support of the community to get them through each day.
We thank you in the community for getting involved. We thank a great, great companies in our community like Alaska USA for getting involved with this check presentation.
Hi, I'm Todd Pearson from Alaska USA Federal Credit Union. And we're excited to be a part of this year's Giveathon. We've been a proud partner of Phoenix Children's for over 5 years. We're honored to be able to present this check in the amount of $10,000. We encourage the community to call the phone bank at 602-933-4567 and support this year's Giveathon. On behalf of Alaska USA, our over 700,000 members worldwide, and our 2,000 employees throughout the West Coast, we thank you, Phoenix Children's Hospital, for being there for our community to provide hope, strength, and to change kids' health to change the future.
And we thank you, Todd, and Alaska USA Foundation. $10,000 donation.
How about that?
Part of our fundraising efforts for Phoenix Children's Hospital. And it's all for kids like Katie. And she was just a normal little kid. She loved to play. She loved to get special treats from Starbucks. She suddenly developed a super aggressive cancer tumor that turned her life and her family's life completely upside down. Doctors gave her about a 20% chance of survival. She was transferred to Phoenix Children's Hospital in their oncology department. Katie's mom decided that in the face of such a very grave prognosis for her daughter, she was going to spend what time she had left with her in the best way that she could, thanks to the staff at PCH. Here's Katie's story.
Katie, what was so unusual about Katie was, different. It was like she knew this was coming, or it felt like she was prepared. Oh, the world is but a child screaming over all your words. She'd come home on a Friday from school and told her mom that she couldn't pee. Took her to another local hospital, and they were able to catheter and get her cleaned out. and said, didn't know what was happening. 2 o'clock in the morning, Katie comes in the bedroom, says, I got to go bad and I can't go. I had to run her down, back down to the hospital. Finally, they got her a visit to PCH that day. You know, doctor came out and he was white as a sheet and said they found a tumor. And that's when our world started getting changed and being turned upside down. When you cry. It was the rhabdomyosarcoma cancer, 20% chance of survival. Pushed us across the driveway in the PCH. From then on, man, that was our new home.
Along with the doctor's help, she just carried on with life, and we made a lot of trips to Starbucks.
She got fluid in the lungs and got drained, and her doctor came out and told us that the cancer was taking over the lungs, that it was everywhere in there, and just that she maybe had 3 weeks. We get out of the hospital and we're on hospice. Her mom had a talk with her and said, Katie, you know, there's this place called Ryan House. She said, no, I don't want to go. You know, I don't want you to go there either, but in these last days, I don't want to be your nurse. I just want to be your mom. It's where she passed away at, in that room, and the best thing we ever did for her, because my wife was able to just be mom. We're really thankful for the people at PCH. We're indebted to that hospital. We'll do anything to help.
Yeah, and you just realize hearing a story like that that not every story has a happy ending. Not every story turns out well, but the staff at PCH is so good, even in trying moments like that, of trying to take a really, really bad situation and make it as good as it can possibly be for the kid, for the parents, for the mom, so she could just be a mom again. You know, they're not always happy endings at PCH,
no.
But boy, they work so hard to try to deliver as many happy endings as they can.
Yeah, just second time I've heard that story, and the second time I'm in tears listening to it. I mean, being told your child has 3 weeks left to live. I mean, again, there's nothing in this world that could be worse than burying a child. Nothing. You would rather have anything happen to you, anything, than have to bury your own child.
Yeah.
No, that was one of those sad stories, and you're right. They can't save everybody, but they try.
They try.
And they do try.
They try, and they work very, very hard at it. And we need to work very hard to protect Phoenix Children's Hospital and to keep Phoenix Children's Hospital doing the great work that they do, which is why we are in the middle of a match right now. And this time, it's the UPS store that is sponsoring this match right now. They're matching your donations when you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank, 602-933-4567. We are looking for 5 to 10 of our Burns and Gambo listeners to call right now.
Let's 602. Get 10.
Let's do 10.
Let's do 10 in honor of Katie.
602-933-4567. 602-933-4567. You will have your donation matched by the UPS store up to $7,500. And that's going on over the next few minutes. We want you to call that number, talk to the volunteer, tell them you'd like to be a champion of hope, like Gerald in Glendale did, or John in Phoenix, or Jeff in Chandler, or Todd in Scottsdale. Or maybe you want to be like Roger in Glendale, and you don't want to just give $20 a month. You want to give $100 a month,
well,
like
Roger
in Glendale did, Patricia in Scottsdale, Richard in Phoenix. You become a champion of hope, you give $20 a month, and we take a teddy bear upstairs right now. One of the volunteers at the hospital takes a teddy bear in your name upstairs to one of the kids at that hospital.
Yeah, and it's tremendous when those kids get those teddy bear. I mean, it's not just, you know, the donation, but think about the smile that you're putting on a kid's face to get a teddy bear to hug and to sleep with tonight and to wake up to tomorrow. You're giving that kid, by becoming a champion of hope, $20 a month, you are giving that kid an opportunity to have a huge smile on their face with a teddy bear from you.
And we're already getting word that the phones are lighting up, which means it's time to fire up the Train Teddy Bear Express, because we've got some teddy bears to deliver. We've got volunteers at the hospital taking the bears upstairs right now to the kids who are there. There's still time for you to call and donate. 602-933-4567. At 602-933-4567. Giveathon Week for Phoenix Children's is presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers. Turn our attention back to sports, and when we come back, both Mike Hazen and Torrey Lovello have said the Diamondbacks are not tanking for the number one overall pick. Is that the right strategy that they should be taking for the betterment of the organization? We'll talk about it next on the Burns and Gambo Show.